The International Climbers Festival was held in our region recently, and it offered an unusual clinic focused on mentally visualizing climbing routes rather than depending on sight. It featured a champion climber who happens to be legally blind. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Haberman reports for the Mountain West News Bureau.
Yeah, yeah. If you take two steps over on that same crack system,
yep,
and then go off of your 11, match hands would be a pretty good move.
It's a windy day in July, and Justin Salas is working his way up a textured limestone cliff at Wild Iris, a world-class outdoor climbing destination 24 miles southwest of Lander. Salas intentionally moves up the vertical cliff with grace, pulling on grooved pockets in the rock and delicately balancing on small edges.
And then right by your right, your left shin, excuse me, that kind of that crimp you were standing on earlier.
That's Ty Vineyard, who's on the ground describing the holds above Salas and suggesting his next move. He's needed because Salas is wearing a blindfold.
Up with your right hand. There. Yep. Up. Maybe I'm seeing it.
The climber, Salas, is demonstrating how to climb without sight to the clinic attendants.
Obviously, whenever you're dealing with something like a visual impairment, you're trying your hardest to have like stability, right? Because we feel around a lot, so finding stable positions is really important.
Salas is an expert because he's legally blind. He didn't start climbing until after he started to lose his vision at 14. But that hasn't stopped Salas from becoming a pro climber and six-time paraclimbing national champion and world champion. He's ticked off accomplishments in the climbing world that most climbers can only dream about. Salas sees with what he refers to as donut vision.
So I just have peripheral, no central. So I can get around and look like I'm not visually impaired, but if you could imagine, when you try and look at something, it disappears.
Salas believes that all climbers can benefit from the tools of visualization to help improve their efficiency on the wall. So today, Salas is challenging participants to try.
But if you wouldn't mind just like throwing the blindfold on and...
While the blindfolded person climbs, the other practices being the caller. They try their best to describe to the climber what the route looks like before they get on the rock and where to place their hands and feet as they move up the wall.
So you're kind of just laying out the roadmap of the easier terrain? And then try and identify the crux.
For those less familiar with climbing lingo, the crux is the most challenging part of a climb. And as you might expect, one of the cruxes of this activity is clear communication.
The hope here is that, you know, it's going to be hard if you don't receive the information. So ask questions. If you feel like there's a part of the route that you're not retaining, you know, ask again.
Salas shares that he visualizes a black 3D space in his mind, then places a map made of neon squares onto it based on the information he's receiving.
And so I imagine like building this like neon route mental map in my mind of the route. Yeah, grids basically, exactly. And then I try and retain that, so by the time I'm going to get on the wall, I have a pretty good understanding of what I'm going to be doing.
The process is also a metaphor in getting to know what works for someone else. The more the caller understands the climber's personal style and strengths, the more the climber can find a flow that feels good to them.
If you are able to, you know, ask each other like, well, you know, do you like high feet more? Do you like staying stretched out? Do you like, you know, are you really flexible? Like, what are your strong suits and all these things? That stuff all helps a lot.
Salas says his connection with his competition caller has been fine-tuned over years of getting to know each other. But still, Salas says it's all a balancing act.
If someone's relaying information to you, it's all great, but you also have to like split your mind and like flow in climbing, but also process the information they're giving you.
Salas is now 30, and he says the 16 years of living with vision loss has been a continual learning process.
When you're dealing with a visual impairment, just like living life and being brave is the most important way to go about it, and then you just like compensate as you learn.
It feels like this is a nice little ledge for feet.
Yeah.
So how can I best get my feet up to here?
Eric Schwinghammer is scrambling up the rock blindfolded. He has ankylosing spondylitis and has spent the last 5 years battling inflammation in one of his eyes.
Since they offer clinics, I thought I'd check out the roster, and when I saw this one, it sparked my interest due to my vision impairment.
Schwinghammer lives in Bozeman and has been traveling around to different climbing festivals with his fiance. He wasn't sure what to expect from the clinic, since both climbing and climbing visually impaired are relatively new to him.
I learned that vision can be an interesting thing to omit in the skill of climbing. So yeah, I learned that it's hard, but it's possible to do this. It just takes communication and like a will from the climber and the caller as well.
While many might think a sport like climbing depends on sight, it turns out that climbing higher is possible with some good communication and just a little help from a friend. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Haberman.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want to learn how to be a master of business without going back to school? Listen to the Planet Money MBA. No suits, no PowerPoints, just the secrets of business school delivered straight to your ears. Every Wednesday till Labor Day on Planet Money from NPR.